Hey, it's Elisa Monjadas, Managing Director of Stories Bureau, and this is my co-host, Creative Director of Stories Bureau.
Hey, everyone, I'm Corey Grushka, and this is B2B Creatively, where we want to talk about all things B2B creative, from trends to best practices, campaigns that succeeded.
So that all of us together can learn how to be creatively.
If you're a marketer, you'll learn how to be more creative, and if you're a creative, we're going to make you more strategic.
Corey, I had this really cool conversation with my old-time friend Nydia, and I know you just listened to it. So
we
talked about creativity and travel, and I want to know from you, like, do those things connect?
So you told me that this question was coming, so I haven't ruminated over it, but I have some thoughts. I do think they connect. I'm a believer in life, in travel, and seeing other cultures, and being exposed to, you know, things outside of your bubble or your framework. But I think as a creative and as a creative director, there's a bunch of ways that I think travel. And that kind of like just what travel represents, you know, the exposure to other things, other cultures. I think it, as a creative, a great creative can operate in multiple styles, in multiple media, in great creative transcends like narrow containers. You know, the idea of being able to create, if you're an illustrator, being able to illustrate in different styles. If you're a branding person, being able to deliver multiple different styles of motifs.
You've taught me how to look for that in portfolios. You know, we have, because of our business model, we have to look through a lot of portfolios. And sometimes I'll like someone and you'll be like, yeah, but look at all of their things. It's all that same style.
Exactly.
You like that style more than that artist.
I feel like that's something that most people, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's something most people might not know, even most marketers might not know about creatives, that a lot of creatives really kind of have a lane stylistically. And I think great creatives can bounce around. There's some creatives that stay in their lane and they're just world class.
Yeah.
And that's what you go to for, you know, like in the world. But in general, I think breadth of capability in terms of styles and in terms of tone and in terms of like just the way you're bringing what's in your head to life as a creative, I think is heavily influenced by exposure to other cultures, different languages. The visuals that you're taking in when you're traveling, the experience you have, the understanding of, there's so many different ways I can go with this, but the experience.
Do you have
an
example of like, maybe a trip you took and you're like, and you saw how that directly influenced your work or your perspective?
The one that I always, I'm a kind of a typography, I'm not really a typography nerd because I don't really talk about it or think about it that much or write about it, but I love
You're
it.
You're a fan.
And I always, that's what I always look at is the typography. Mm. Whenever I travel, I remember like, you know, going to Austin, going to abroad, going to New York, but in New York especially, like seeing the way typography is rendered, it's not real. I mean, I'm there all the time, but that's something I'm always looking at, you know? Is it retro style? Is it modern, but it looking retro on purpose? Is it like, you know, how is it illustrated? I think but that's like very narrow, like just like being able to see the way different cultures do design or creative in other areas, architecture, whatever it is. But I just think seeing other cultures and seeing that people do things different ways and also interacting with people, communicating with people, I think, you know, as a creative, you need to, especially as a commercial creative, a graphic designer, you have to be able to deliver something for an audience. So anyway, long story long, I think travel and seeing other things and experiencing other people, personas, like is essential for great creatives, especially you know, creatives that get paid, and especially, I think, B2B creatives. So.
Okay, well, let's go meet Nydia.
Hello, my name's Nydia Verdugo, and I'm a senior program manager at Microsoft, where I do product growth marketing. And I also have Turistia, which is my travel blog, where I get to mix my skills of marketing and travel and creativity all in one.
All right. So, Nydia, we go Hello. Way back. We've never worked way together, back. Right? Wait, we never worked together.
No, not us, but I worked with your brother. Yes. So with Michael, that's how, I feel like that's how we met, was through Michael, yeah. Technically. Yeah, yeah.
I think
but
we
met never got to meet together.
Yeah. But we both worked at the same place, just at different times.
We
like
did.
The same agency.
Correct. Yeah.
So we like, we get that side of our lives.
Yes. Yes. We've had crossovers, just different times in our lives. Yes.
Exactly. Okay. So over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, I've been like watching your journey from doing some media buying. Did you do media buying?
I did. Yeah. So media buying at that agency, correct? That's what I was doing. Yeah.
To like so many other things. And now you're at Microsoft. You have your own consultancy. You have your own blog. You have all these projects. You're in Puerto Rico, like living your best life.
Doing a lot of things.
I love it. I love someone who like, one of my friends calls it passion packed. Like, it's not like you're like busy. It's just passion packed. Like, I just like a lot of passions.
You know, yeah. I was actually just reading a book today. I don't know who the author was. It was like literally like on the coffee table because I was getting my hair done. And then it was like a sales book, but it was talking about like if you're not busy, it means you're not in demand. And it was just like a Ooh. Different way to look at things when you're feeling like, I don't know, like you have so much going on. It's like, well, that you're demand. Like that's a good problem to have. It's all perspective. So I like what you said.
Yeah. So let's talk about how you're in demand with your like personal project, Touristy AF. Mm-hmm. Like, how did that start? Where are you at with it now?
Okay, so that was literally something that I wanted to do since. Okay, I studied abroad in Barcelona when I was at Fresno State, and it was just like, I want to be able to do this more than just once, right? And I think at that time I didn't have exposure about like what it could be like living abroad or anything like that, but I think that little seed kind of started when I did that program because I was like, oh, there's a whole new world out there. And I remember specifically being like, I want to like document this in a way. But, you know, at that time it was just like, I'm enjoying the moment, whatever. But I did promise myself since then, I was like, okay, go somewhere internationally at least once a year. And so that was kind of like, I remember back then making myself that promise. And so like the following year I went to Costa Rica, and then after I went to Thailand. And so like, those like one international trips at some point became more frequent. But throughout my travels, I remember always like, even when we went to Thailand, I did this whole like presentation of like research of things to do, the weather, like I just like was super into it. So I feel like that was always super interesting to me, like the preparing for it, but then also during all the like stories, all the people you meet, all the places you go. And it's like, if someone's going like, oh, you should go here, you know? So like all those things that are in conversation, I was just like, I need to do like a travel blog or something, but you know, procrastination, life priorities, whatever. I never,
how old are you at the time?
I was 20 when I went to study abroad.
Okay.
And so at 21, I think I was like, okay, I want to do this. It wasn't until COVID.
That's cool, because that's like young.
Yeah. I think I was just like, which is okay, even going way back, I remember doing like, what is it, dog days, where you do the, I don't know, dog days at Fresno State where they tell you like what the programs are, all that stuff.
Yes.
So like orientation, essentially. Mm-hmm. I remember going with my dad, and you know, I already knew like I wanted to do business. And real quick, when I was in high school, I like researched my interests, and it was like marketing. And I was like, okay, marketing it is. So going into Fresno State, I already knew what I wanted to study and everything. So we were orientation. And then I remember them talking about like, your third year, you can go to Australia or study abroad. And I remember turning to my dad, I was like, that's so cool. Like, I want to do that. And so once it came to like Spain, I was saving up. I was like waiting until I had all my credits to be able to do that. So I feel like since a young age, I've always been like, I want to travel. I want to see what's out there. And it's just the more information and more I travel and the more input I get in this world, in this mind, I was like, okay, there's more, you know? So it's like every time it's just more and more. But anyways, I'm getting sidetracked. You asked.
Okay, hold on. I need to sidetrack. I need to sidetrack you one more time because,
okay, for it.
Like, okay, in high school, you took a test and it said to do marketing, and now you're doing marketing. Like, what?
Yeah. Okay. So, where do I start without making it too long? So, my first job.
I don't want to hear the history. Like, yeah. Because like we're gonna go wait, like we don't have so long.
And then it's when I was born, and then okay.
But like, did you expect that you would actually do it? I guess.
I feel like yes. It was just like all my interests all in one. I've always wanted to do, before I even knew what the word entrepreneurship was, I feel that my first job was working at this like candy store, but she had like a lady owned it. And I just remember being like, that's so cool. Like she has her own business. And I don't know, I just thought that was awesome. And then also growing up, seeing my dad, even though he had, you know, his like 9 to 5, he's always like had his business on the side too. And I think that's something that he's always told me, like, you know, you should try to make money for yourself too. Like, yeah, a 9 to 5, because the benefits and everything, but what can you do outside of that? So I think all those factors contributed to me being like, okay, like I know I want to do something in business, but I've always enjoyed like creative things, like since I was a young age too. And I'm not going to sit here and fake, like, you know, I paint and like, you know, I do that type of art. Like, that's just not me. Like, I can enjoy it, but I'm not someone that necessarily does it like professionally or anything like that. But it was like, okay, how can I still be creative? And then I remember taking a video production class in high school, and I was like, this is cool. And then I learned what like multimedia was, and it was just everything that kind of came together, and I was like, marketing. So when I was in at Fresno State, even though I did business marketing, I realized like this is very like analytical, very business, which is fine. But I was like, I feel like I'm missing the creative part. So I ended up taking like a certificate in MCJ, and that's where I learned about media buying too. And so it's kind of like I've always tried to merge. Like if I felt I wasn't finding, because sometimes like marketing and business can just become that, right? Like very numbers oriented. And it's part of the business and I love it, but it's also like, how can I fuel my creativity? And I think that's the crossover too with, well, now we can talk about, you know, jobs or like careers.
Yeah.
Throughout my career, it's like I've always been able to bring this like data-driven approach to creative projects too, because I think sometimes if you isolate one or the other and they're not talking to each other, then it's just you're kind of missing the point. But with a lot of, for example, like creative content, right, with campaigns, it's like there's the psychology of it, it's part science, but part data, but then also like the part of just, anyways, you got to like really understand from like the consumer side what they're likely to do, but you got to have it all. So anyways,
there's so many different facets of marketing. And like here, you're like, I'm not a real creative, but like you're literally on a podcast called BB Creatively.
Right,
like we're talking about creativity, and like that's all we do is work with creatives, and you're one of them. And just really quick, like, when I took that test in high school, I got cruise director.
Stop it.
And I got cruise director. I got 3. Cruise director, psychologist, and pastor.
What? Like,
yeah. And now here I am in marketing. I don't know.
Pastor,
I don't know how it happened.
Like,
but, you know, maybe like my retirement job will be like, guess what? There's burgers on the Lido deck. Like, I don't know.
You never know. I feel like we're dynamic human beings, so we have the right to change, and you might want to tap into that one day.
Passion patch. Okay, so let's get back to touristy AF. What the heck is it? What are you doing with it? How are you living your life being touristy AF?
So originally it started as a travel blog. And then during COVID, right, it's like I decided to just go all in. I'm like, I do marketing for every other businesses, you know, especially at the agency. You're working with so many clients. I'm like, why don't I take the same skill set that I'm so passionately for others and do it for myself? And I think also COVID, it was like, oh, I miss traveling and all of that. So I tapped in and just looked at the archive of a lot of this stuff that I had. And I was like, I want to launch a travel blog. Like, let me do it now. So it started as a travel blog where I was literally doing blogs, a lot of it more just like storytelling, a couple of travel guides. And I started with doing content on social media. So like TikTok kind of started at that time. And I was like, oh, sure. Like, let me try at it. I'm not someone that really, you know, does like the dances and stuff like that. So I was like, I just want to put out like stuff that I've seen and places people can go if they're there one day, you know? So it kind of started as that, as like mini travel guides or even like mini travel blogs or even storytelling, like in short form. And it just kind of turned into more in a shorter time. And so that was exciting to see that happen. And then I realized I was like, I'm not having so much fun writing. So like, I want to focus more on the content side. So I started doing just more of the content. And I think that fueled also my creativity, where I've always enjoyed just creating like videos. It's super, even like when I was when I would like listen to music, I'm like, this is what the music video would look like, you know, like things
oh
like that.
Oh my gosh. Maybe, okay, maybe that's your next career.
I know.
Music video,
producer. Yeah. So it was just like all these things. And I told myself in the very beginning when I was doing Tourist AF, I was like, I want it to be fun. Like, I don't want it to become something that I put so much pressure on it that, you know, I think at that time and even now you hear the word influencer, content creator. And I think I was just like, I'm just creating. And I think sometimes when you do things like from the heart and organically, people gravitate to it. So I never tied anything more to it. And I think because of that, like, I was just like, what? I'm just sharing what I want to share. You know, people like resonate with it, like more so on TikTok, like videos, like, you know, getting more engagement and traction. And I enjoyed it until I didn't. And I think sometimes we have to like honor ourselves in that process, because it did start becoming something that I was like, okay, I need to, you know, put out certain content.
Now I have to do this. Like, it's been 5 days. I need to.
Yes.
I hate that pressure.
Yes. So I was just like, you know what? I told myself, do it as long as you have fun. And so what I did was like, I backed away more from like the social media side of it. But in the back end, because of my social, like some social media presence, I still was able to garner some great opportunities. So I pulled away from the blogs, did more content. When content was becoming just not fun anymore, I was like, okay, you know, what can we do with it? And so because I already had all this, I started reaching out to like travel brands, everything from like hotels to tourism boards and stuff like that, and being like, hey, this is what I can do, and I can do it for you. And so out of that has come a couple of opportunities that I never thought would happen. And it all comes down to, I met this amazing person, shout out to Dominique Jackson, she's a travel writer. I met her during my my first year of like nomadic life in Mexico City. And she was like, yeah, like people will send me on assignment and I get to do press trips. And I was like, what are press trips? So like, again, by like talking and meeting people, you like share ideas, you learn about the possibilities that exist in that world. So that's when I started to learn that I could make some sort of like income out of this, right? And what that looks like. I'm not someone that likes to do like courses or that kind of thing necessarily. And so it was like, okay, I already create content. There's a proof there. How can I reach out to hotels or these travel brands and be like, I can create this content for you too? So anyways, that's what Tourist AF right now is. So what I do, whenever I do like post and publish, which is not as frequent anymore, it's just what I feel like at the time. But in the back end, you know, I'm working with some brands. I've done some press trips. So an example was like the Nerife. I got to go there with my friend who's the journalist, and I got to take content for her. And anyways, yeah. So like in the back end, I'm just doing more like brand deals, content creation for like travel brands. And that's kind of where we're at.
That's so fun. I love travel vlogs. Like when I'm planning a trip, I'll like, I find, like, I usually look at like female vloggers who like the same things that I do. Like, okay, this girl's a foodie. Like, I'm going to just, I will sit and watch 45 minutes of like, there's this one gal, like I'll watch like all of everywhere she goes. And then I'm just like on my phone, putting like making pins in my Google Maps. Like, okay, when I go to Copenhagen, I'm totally going to that coffee shop, you know, like all that stuff. Yeah, and then I'll send it, and in this case, this is a true story. I really do want to go to Copenhagen next. That's like my next thing. And I'm trying to talk my friend into meeting me there. And so I sent her the vlog, and I was like, watch this 45-minute video of these. And it like wasn't even compelling content. It was just like what I needed to hear to know like what I was getting into.
Giving you like a little glimpse of, oh, this could be something that I do in the future, which you will. So let me know how it goes.
Yeah, I will. I will. Okay, so we're here to talk about B2B trends and B2B marketing and storytelling and all that. But I really think that there's a way, like consumers are consumers no matter what. So whether you're consuming business content because you need to and it's part of your job, or you're watching a travel vlog, it's the same. Like, it's still me watching, like, you know, the Nydia in Puerto Rico going to Bad Bunny and Nydia, like, creating this product story for Microsoft. I guess let's just start there. Like, how do you see those worlds, like, connecting?
I feel like you said it perfectly. It's, what is it, like, put yourself in another person's shoes? And I think whenever it comes to marketing or really any project, and I have one great manager, well, he used to be my manager at Microsoft, that always told me, like, at the end of the day, what people remember is how you make them feel. So anytime there was like any pressure with certain projects or the approach, whatever it was, it's like, yeah, data, numbers, all those things, like, you know, matter at that time, but what matters is like how you make people feel in the whole process. So I think just the human touch and element in anything that we do, whether it's professional, whether it's personal, like you at one point are the consumer. You at one point are like, you know, the other person or the person trying to sell, the person trying to buy, like whatever it is, like we've all have been or at some point will be on receiving ends. And I think that's the important thing to remember. So even with like marketing campaigns, it's like, might sound cliche, but like put yourself in the business or, you know, whoever your target audience is, like their shoes, and be like, how would I like to be approached? And it's something that's so simple, but it's just, I think it works in life, like literally in whatever, anything that you do. So simple answer to that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in that regard, like, what are things that you're trying on your own? Like, what are some, like, I know I saw the other day you posted like some video journals and you're like, this is my favorite thing right now. Like, oh, what is it still your favorite thing? What does that look like for people who don't know what that is?
Yeah. So, okay. So the video journals are, How do I explain this? Like, for me, it's just raw organic moments. And so I'll kind of go back to whenever I like travel and stuff, I'm just recording. I'm like that friend that's always like recording. And my favorite thing to do is actually record my friends. That's or random people or just like things. And capturing like those still moments that sometimes people might not know they're being captured, because it's like, it's not performative, right? It's just natural and organic. And so I think why I've enjoyed that more. So I did like my first travel blog, and like that was fun and everything on YouTube. And then as I'm looking through all the content that I have, and I'm like, oh, you know, what is like for TikTok that's more like those travel guides, those kind of things that perform quote unquote better. But then it's like, okay, like, I have so much content that like my friends are saying funny stuff, or it's just like random stuff that I'm like, I find this funny. I don't care if no one else does, but like, this is like, I'm going to look back. And another thing that I recently heard is like, my Instagram is like my diary. And so I think it all ties back where I want to be able to like look back at my social media presence and be like, wow, like, I have lived. Or like, you know, just like you have a physical journal, like you can have that too in the form of pictures or videos. And so recently when I went to New York, my plan was to do like, you know, I'll just capture content and I'll create a vlog. And then when I was like getting ready to be in that creative process, I was like, actually just want to upload it as like a carousel, like these specific moments that for whatever reason spoke to me. And like, that's that's all it was. And I kind of did that recently too on my travel page with like moments in Puerto Rico, because I've been spending some time in Puerto Rico now and I haven't really shared a lot of that content. And I thought about doing like travel guides and stuff like that, but I was like, actually, no, like right now what I want to upload is just like these small, short clips, moments that just feel very intimate to me. And so maybe someone will be like, oh, that's cool. Like, I like it. But at the end of the day, I like it. And that's what matters.
You know, okay. So one day I just, you know, I'm like on and off social media and Instagram. Like I just go through my own phases. And one day, a couple weeks ago, I was like, I'm just going to document my whole day, like all these moments. I have kind of a packed day and I, I'm like excited about today. And then there was this, like in the middle of it all, I had to do laundry. And so I made this slow-mo video of me like putting in my little laundry pods. And I was so embarrassed. But I like, I uploaded it and I was like, oh my gosh, like, and I put even like, please excuse my laundry art. And all of my artist friends were like, we love this. Like they could care less about the rest of my day. They're like, show us more laundry. Like
this is the best part. I think
it comes back to like those moments that are like relatable and maybe every day. But your, you know, even if you did your laundry and I did mine, it's going to look different. And it's kind of interesting to see like what our lives look like. Doing the everyday.
I think it's also like the common thing, right? Because you say we might have something in common, but we do it differently. And I feel also with, you know, I don't know, social media, it's a double-edged sword, because I know so many people that I'm like, just put it out there. Who cares? And I know it's easier said than done. Like I have even felt that many times where I'm like, oh, should I put this out? Should I not? You know, I think like we all have that inner voice at times. But like you said, you shared that moment. You're like, I'm just going to do it. And it's like, just do it. And whoever's going to like resonate with it is going to resonate. Even if that one person is yourself, like that's literally the whole point.
Okay. And everything so how does that translate to this B2B space that both of us are in? Like there are, you know, they say like how you do anything is how you do everything. So, like thinking about, I'm just like processing myself this the same question. Like, I just did a presentation earlier in the week where I wanted to tell a story and to explain this concept. And I actually did use like moments. I did a bunch of interviews. It was a research project. And I just put, well, I had an editor put the moments together for me, but I chose them and they were just like these really unique times within these interviews that I did. And it wasn't, it was all for internal communication. It wasn't going to go out to anyone. It wasn't for show. It didn't need to be, but it was like really important to capture those so that the people I was presenting to understood why I was proposing what I was proposing. Like it, there was a business case around showing them those moments. And so, yeah, I'm just like, I'm like asking myself the same question that I'm asking you. Like, how do I use these same principles in my work?
I mean, I feel like it's a great question. And it's, I think, a good question to ask yourself often, because like you said, how you do, what is it? How you do everything?
How you do anything is how you do everything.
Yes. And it's like, sometimes we think, for us, for example, right, where we're in the space where we have, we wear like multiple hats. I think it's easy to silo things. And it's like, no, everything's really interconnected. And it's important to remind yourself, like, I'll say this for myself, like with 9 to 5, I think it's so easy sometimes with certain, like, certain goals, right? Or certain things that like you personally don't really have control over, like, oh, these are the metrics or these are like, you know, our goals. And sometimes they change. And I think it's so easy to sometimes feel that disconnect because you don't feel as close to it. But it's like, no, you should really show up to it with the same passion that you would your own sort of thing, right? And if you're not, then maybe that's the sign to, you know, things are misaligned and it's time to seek something else. And I've definitely had those moments where I was just like, why can't I like be super into this. And it's because of that. It's like something's not right. So I think it's also important.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
Girl, yeah. Really going.
We're going to
really
go there. Part two, part three, part four, part five. I think that's super, super important. And to your point where you were talking about how you had a presentation and you use these moments, we're all like humans at the end of the day. I know it sounds so like, okay, yeah, but sometimes people don't want to be talked at. They want to have like an open conversation. And I think when it comes to like my career, specifically with like in corporate, you know, it's so easy, especially in corporate world, corporate America, to just be like, oh, it has to be like, you know, da 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 da. And I fall into that. And it's like, no, at the end of the day, you're talking to another human being who, once they shut the computer down, like they have their families, they have their life, whatever it is. And I'll give an example. Recently, there was a presentation that we did for like a CVP of an organization within Microsoft. And it literally was just like sprung onto us the week of, and like everyone's like frantic, like, you know, it's a Wednesday. He put in the meeting, like he just literally sent it to all of us. Like, we're meeting Friday. And so people are like, and I'm like, well, should I also be like, like what's going on here? Right. Yeah. And so it's like, if the higher ups around me are like a little panicky, it's like, should I too? And so we're, you know, working on this presentation. And I thought it was so funny because, like, once a presentation comes, and it tends to happen like this, I found a lot of times when you put so much, like, emphasis on things where he's like, this is what I want to talk about. And it wasn't nothing to do with anything.
Oh, my gosh. I have been in that moment so many times where everyone is like scrambling to get something. Right. And then, like, the person that requested it was like, well, actually, I just changed my mind in this moment. Right now, yeah, because I think I want to go here. Like, I've had a couple days to think about it, and everyone is like, what? Like, we have been bending over backwards.
Yes, and it happens, right? Like, I think flexibility is one thing we all have to be okay with in any career that we're in. But what I found so ironic about that we prepared all this, and it's good to be prepared, right? Like, we had it, should the conversation gear a certain way, we had that information. But at end of the day, he wanted to talk about something. I was like, okay, cool. He like kind of stopped us in halfway through presentation, and he was just like, oh, like, so this is my question. And then that sprung like a organic conversation, which I thought was like cool. And then once, I had never talked to him in person, like it was always via email. And so there was always like sometimes this pressure of like, oh, you have to respond to him a certain way because, you know, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, sure. And so like I never understood it, maybe because I'm not so close to it. But once we were in that meeting, a question or something came up, like a topic. And I just like unmuted myself, you know, I was on camera and everything. And I was like, oh, like, you know, I just like jumped in and talked, and it felt like a natural conversation. I'm just like, he's just a normal guy. Yeah, he's very high up, and I can understand the pressure, absolutely. But once I felt like he almost made it comfortable, like, chill. Like, I'm here. These are my questions. Let's have a conversation. And so I think remembering
it was like less pressure because you remembered that he's human and you're human and you're just talking.
Literally, yes, yes. And I think that's something that to always remember in going into things, you know, titles at the end of the day are just titles. They come with certain perks, but yeah, like whoever you talk to, it's a receiving human. And I think people just want to feel seen and heard wherever they are. And so sometimes, I don't know. So that was just like a valuable lesson to me. And I think just approaching any project, anything that you do, I can understand certain pressures that come with, like, you know, there's a title and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's just like, just share what's in your heart and your mind. And I think as long as you're being respectful, there's, oh my gosh, what's the worst that's going to happen, you know?
Right. And okay. Yeah. So, you know, it's easy to hear you say this because you are good at what you do. And like, hear me out. Hear me out here. Because like the other thing that I know about you is like you are very metrics, analytics, and data driven. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what makes a good marketer, right? You balance the creativity and the analytics. And So like when it comes to needing to back up whatever you're suggesting, you have it. How do you, what would you say to those creatives that aren't as strong in that area? Like, how can they make sure that they're finding that balance? Like, how have you found the balance?
I'll start off by saying I failed basic math first year of college 3 times. So
nice.
So, and I was like,
for
oh
all
gosh.
The college students listening, like, who cares?
So it's literally not like a measurement. I mean, that's a whole other conversation of like, you know, the testing system and all that stuff. We can have a whole convo. But for a very long time, I felt like I'm not a numbers person. Like, oh my God, I can't even pass this like basic stats class. Like, what am I supposed to do? And then it wasn't until, I think it really depends of how you learn things. So you have to figure out like what works for you and what, like, I think that's super important, because once I took the media buying class, and because it was so integrated with the way it was integrated with like marketing and advertising, it didn't feel like I was learning math. And so and you would have told me I was going to be in media buying, where you have to worry about like all these numbers. I would have been like, mm-hmm. No, I'm out. I'm switching majors. And so the fact that it all kind of came down to that is like, what? And like now, like, oh my gosh, the work that I do, it's very, you know, marketing creative too, but it's pretty say like 70% of the time it's numbers, like very data driven oriented. And like this week I was like beating my head with like our data guy. Like, we're trying to figure out like an answer, right? A question, an answer to a question, looking at all this data, like LTVs, ROIs, blah, blah, blah. Like language that would have scared me a long time ago. And so I think you just got to dive in and figure out what works. I think paths align. I think for creative people that are like super scared of numbers and data, it's like, well, how are you getting your information? I think as a creative, it's important to understand trends more than anything. So if it's reading a blog or, I don't know, listening to a podcast, or, you know, in what way can you receive information better? And there's so many, like, especially like YouTube, there's so many resources to get the same information, maybe like in a more visual way that breaks it down, that's more digestible. So just figure out like what works for you and who does a better job at explaining it. Cause I think anything can be learned as long as you know how you best learn. And yeah, but I think like data is super important, especially making informed decisions for like creatives. Mm-hmm. I work with a lot of graphic designers too. And I think, I don't know if you've had this, but sometimes when I work with graphic designers, it's like they're not always data driven. And so it's like, yes, it's beautiful, but it's not going to get me the results I need. So how about we do this? I think a lot of it is also just knowing what people's strengths are. What are your strengths? Like, how you can come together and collaborate. And I think that's just part of any job or project that you're in, is understanding strengths and complementing. And I think the more you get out of your comfort zone and also work with like different stuff, you get exposed and learn more as well. So definitely out of your comfort zone to get, you know, a little bit more information for creatives that want like to learn more about data.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's like about you, it is still storytelling. So you're like, yes. So like when I think about marketing and data and analytics, it's like a communication tool for me. Mm-hmm. Like, how am I going to tell the story? And I think that when you are working with like those like pure creatives, designers, video editors, etc., like you just, if you can just explain like, okay, here's what we need because like here's the big mm-hmm. picture and here's why we need things done in a certain way. Like, they're going to get it too, because that, like, we all can connect to a story. And mm-hmm. so it's up to like anyone to say, because I mean, sometimes I have like a designer saying, okay, well, you told me it needed to be fresh. And like, that's why I'm using this light green, because it's like fresh.
Right.
And, you know, so I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I get it. Oh, like, let's like think about this together. Okay. So we've talked about video journaling, side hustles, Instagram, finding business moments. What social trends would you like to see B2B marketers trying out or using?
That's a tough one. It's a good one, though. B2B. I feel like it would be nice to see more emotional storytelling. I think a lot of times we've taken UGC, for example. We've taken even content creation. Like, a lot of it is following trends, which, you know, trends exist for a reason or whatever. But I think a lot of times people lose their, like, for the sake of chasing trends and, you know, trying to stay relevant, they lose, like, the emotional storytelling of it, of, like, who we are, what we stand for. So I think that would be nice to see a little bit more of that, and not it be performative, because I think there is a big difference. I think that also kind of goes into chasing trends with, like, brands being performative and, like, oh, let's do this. But I feel like you can just tell. You can just tell when it's
I was just
going to
ask, like, how do you know?
Yeah. Well, even, like, okay, with a lot of people using, like, because I do UGC. So, like, I can spot on when it's a UGC, like, content creator that they hired. Maybe they gave them a script or and stuff like that.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So I feel like that's super easy. So a lot of times I feel like we're being sold to, and it's just like, don't sell things to me. Like, tell me, like, I guess why I need this, but not in a way like shoving it down my throat. So what I mean by, like, emotional storytelling, it's like highlighting the people behind your brand too. And I think that's super important. Like, and I'm talking everyone that makes up your company, you know, everyone from, you know, who closes the doors at night, cleans it, to, like, whoever it is. Cause at the end of the day, like, everyone's coming together and working for, you know, a company or whatever. But just, like, emotional storytelling, I think empathy, we lack that a lot, personally, I feel like. And so just being able to say, like, being transparent too, right? Not everything has to be roses and everything, like, being honest. And I think that's just, like, super important. So I just want to feel connected when I see a brand and be like, okay, you're cool, like, I believe in this because you believe in this. Like, that's how much I believe in it versus, like, here, you should buy this because the graphics are pretty, but, you know, like, maybe the storytelling's lacking, or sometimes you do have the storytelling, but then the visuals, that you lose me. So there has to be a balance.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance, but I think you're right. Like, you can tell when something is trying too hard. You're like, you don't have to try that hard. Just, like, be real.
Just be real. Like, whoever's gonna resonate. And then I also think it's like a like, micro moment. So I think it's like, if you do things from the heart, you might not see the fruits of the labor right away. But then it's just like the compounding effect, right? It's just like at some point, boom. And I think I always love that when I see, either if it's companies or even, like, creators, like, creatives and whatever, whether it's, like, music artists, like, there's, like, this band from Mexico City that I found, and it's, like, just within the last year, they've, like, blown up, and I feel like it's, like, they've stayed so true to themselves, just creating art, and then people resonate with how authentic it's been, and then boom, you know. And then so I think just any art that you create, just do it from the heart. And if it, I think when you have an attachment or expectation, that's where we get disappointment, right? And I think it's normal. Like, we do it a lot. I do it a lot. And it's like, well, damn, it didn't come out how I thought. It's like, because I had this expectation. It's like, I realize sometimes when I try the least, it's like when things come into fruition. So I think just always having that internal dialogue with yourself. And as much as we're talking about, like, business and projects and stuff like that, it's on the personal side too. And it's just, I think it's a constant reminder. And it's not like, oh, you know, you've reached the milestone and you're free and you're always going to think this way. Like, you always have to check in with yourself and remind yourself of those things. But
it's a good question to ask yourself when you're, like, deep into that, when you're in those like business stories to say like, okay, this is telling the story, it's meeting the objectives, but at the end of the day, like, are people able to connect to it? And I think that's like a nice check to ask yourself and ask your team, whoever's working on whether it's a video, a presentation, a white paper, even like, okay, is this going to connect with, you know, is this going to connect the dots and also to the person consuming it?
Absolutely. You gave a great example earlier of where it's like with data, right? It's still storytelling as much as it's numbers. Like, how can I tell this story? And understanding, like, even this as recent as yesterday, I was working on a report and my manager, I was like, here's, before I send it, what do you think? And he's like, okay, these are some areas like where you need to be better at storytelling and not assume people will know. So like, you know, even myself, like as much as I've been doing this, it's like, ooh, good point. Like because I know it, I shouldn't assume that other people know. It's always kind of understanding your audience and how can you storytell. And just real quick, like whenever I have to do presentations at work, I love doing like little Q&As or like starting with like a funny meme or a video or whatever. And I think like that breaks the ice. And so instead of being like, oh, these are the numbers, I'm like, oh, like, here's a question, or, you know, started off like that. And I think I've always found that that creates one, they're going to actually be more tuned in because they were probably, especially if I'm like in the middle of the presentation.
All those people who are like in back-to-back meetings and they're like, and then like you break it up with the meme and, you know.
Yeah. They're like, wait, what?
You sold them.
Yeah. So I think it's just important to always be like, especially in the world that we live in, we're always just, like you said, back-to-back meetings and stuff like that. So how can you break it up a little bit? Even if it's just for yourself, I'm like, well, I need to have fun doing this presentation.
You're like, I really don't want to lose my soul today. So can we have a little laugh?
Yes, exactly. But anyways, that's that.
Okay, well, this has been so awesome. I love that we've like seen your journey from, you know, in your early 20s, like thinking, oh my gosh, I can go to another country and work. And then you've worked. And you've had really cool jobs. You're at Microsoft now. You're living in Puerto Rico. You're doing like so many creative things on the side. What is something that you would like other people to know about, maybe to like experience for themselves, like young people in particular?
Oh my God, my young people. I feel like you should always ask yourself, am I doing the things that like my younger self would want? And I know it's like the whole like, inner child or whatever, but I think it goes back to, I was actually having a conversation with someone recently and I was just like, oh my God, I'm doing way more. Like if I had someone like me growing up, I would have been like, oh my God, that person is amazing. And it's, you know, I say this humbly, like Kanye would. But no, but like seriously, it's like, be the person you wish you had.
I
want to
be you when I grow up, so I get it.
But it's just like, I guess it comes down to like, are you proud of like the things that you're doing? And if there's areas where you feel like not, like, you know, what can I do better to improve? Or like, why am I not proud? Like, so I think just having those conversations with yourself. And I think also for like young people, like I have my cousins and stuff who are like figuring out like, what do I do? And all that stuff is like, girl, I'm still figuring it out. Like, you know, she has this, we had a conversation once and I was like, I feel like you have the perception that I'm like, I have it all together. And I'm like, I don't, I really don't. And it's like, you're seeing maybe like the results of what I put in very hard work to your point since my 20s. And so like, maybe now I'm at a point where I wouldn't even say I'm relaxing more, but I can understand how it can be perceived a certain way. But
you've like done the testing and the experimenting and all of that to figure out what really works for you.
Yes. Yes. And I'm still doing it because now I'm at a point where like, okay, I have enough, data to understand like, you know, what are certain things that I want my life to be like, but then I'm also just always, I'm also like a very curious person. So I think I'm always just going to be learning and pivoting and adapting. And one of my favorite poets, Jan Pueblo, I don't know which book it is, but he talks about like being dynamic human beings. And I love that because I think for a long time I had a certain perception of who I was supposed to be, And then when I let go of that idea, I was like, I can reinvent myself anytime that I want. And I think that is like the one advice I'd give to like young people is like, just try things. And I think when you're in your 20s, you have this like more delusional version of yourself where it's like, you don't think of things as like calculated risk as much. So it's like, whatever you want to do and try, just do it and try it. Like there's no better time to do it. Even in your 30s, like I'm in my 30s now, I'm like, I feel like I'm still in my 20s. So I still will like have that mindset, but you know, you kind of like get in your head a little bit more sometimes, but just try things. It's okay to change and just what's going to work for you. Cause there's things that are going to work for different people and you might have enough data to know like, oh, if I go down that route, that can be the result. But everyone literally has their own story and their own inputs and outputs that make them them. And so just, oh, and then community. I think community is so huge. I think as a
and I want to get into the Cans Lion stuff. So like, let's get practical too.
Yes. But yeah, just building community, like, you know, connecting, networking. I think that is super, super huge. So don't overthink that.
Speaking of people under 30, like, tell me about this Cannes Lions experience that you had, because it was just seems like this global, cool experience. Like, what is it? What is it about? What's it about? What is it? What is it about?
So anyone that's under 30, I highly suggest that you literally look up right now Cannes Lions Brands Academy, Creative Academy, and look up the programs. Basically, it's this program that happens in Cannes, France every year. And just think of anything that's advertising marketing. Like it's a, I wouldn't even call it a conference. It was like, well, it was like a conference with, it was amazing. Like I have no way to describe it besides like, where am I? This is so cool. But I didn't know
Darn,
about it
I
want to
do it. I wish I was under 30.
You know, they do have programs for like women and other stuff. But a lot of people, like if you're still in college or you're just starting your career, I was 29 when I did it. So I was like, I barely made it. But it was like under 30, you can apply. And essentially you get to do a program with like 30 other people from that have been selected globally, like these marketing quote unquote superstars from different parts of their career. You just come together to like learn from each other. You get to connect with CEOs of like all these crazy, you know, corporate brands that you hear of. And it's like almost like a one-on-one mentorship with those people where you have these like workshops and you have an opportunity to just like communicate with them. So I just think it's, I wish I had known about it when I was like starting my career or at, you know, earlier than I did, so I can go every single year if I could.
Yeah.
But for anyone that is interested in really like the creative space, like the marketing space, the advertising space, I think it's definitely worth checking out and seeing if you can get accepted to the program. And don't underestimate yourself. Like anyone and everyone can apply. And, you know, if you get selected, it's just a once in a life opportunity to really have one-on-one conversations with people that you never thought you'd be sitting in the room with, like VPs, wow. CEOs, like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That sounds really amazing. Okay, cool. I'm like already going to send people this episode just so they can listen to everything that you have to say, but like, but also this. Thank you so much, Nydia. This is so fun to catch up. And I love that I think you're our, the furthest away interview so far, Puerto Rico, which is
I
really
love that.
Cool.
Yes. You're going to have to start a map one day.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That would be cool.
I'll do like a travel blog of like who I interview.
Yes. I know people can that can connect you.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
B2B Creatively is powered by Stories Bureau. This episode was produced by Alexandra Uresta with help from Mather DeLeon. It was engineered and mixed by Tim Ballant and edited by Joshua Ramsey. If you like what you hear, go follow Stories Bureau on LinkedIn, or Elisa, Corey, and the rest of the team are dishing out tips all week long. Or maybe check out storiesbureau.com. Sign up for our newsletter, and that'll keep you up to date on all the latest trends and best practices in the B2B creative, design, and marketing worlds. Oh, and of course, follow us on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform to get more creative convos like this delivered straight to your feed every month. That's it for this one. So until next time, thanks for listening.